It was the custom in Old Testament days to draw lots in order to determine tenancy for a block of land. When the tenant was chosen, it was his responsibility to mark off his boundaries. And this was done by means of placing heavy stones at the appointed line. These stones, in the Authorized Version, are called landmarks. And it was a very serious offense to interfere with a neighbor's landmark, so much so that God said, "Cursed be the man that removeth his neighbor's landmark." As I gave consideration to that practice, I thought too of the great, wonderful revelation of God's Word, the inspiration of divine truth. And I thought too of the landmarks of truth which He has given to us. And my friends, we must recognize this fact, that the theological plunderers have been in, and they have removed the ancient landmarks of truth to such a degree that people's faith is just shaking like that. They do not know what to believe. But my friends, the Word of God is truth. Here we have these wonderful landmarks. The Apostle Paul was fired with divine enthusiasm when he preached to the Galatians, and he said, "Though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Definite language. It doesn't matter what the gospel may be, good news. It may be good news of Christian Science, may be good news of some other ism. It may be good news of any doctrine apart from the Word of God. The gospel is based on that wonderful foundation of truth. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And just for a little while, I want to speak of three landmarks which have been removed. And the first one is the landmark of divine inspiration. Oh, my friends, if I want to communicate my thoughts to you, it becomes necessary for me to close them with words and to set them in grammatical order so that you may have the sense of what I wish to say. Men have done this right down through the ages. They've written books, they've lectured from platforms, and people have received what they have written and also what they have spoken. But God has given unto us His mind. He has opened up His mind to us in no uncertain way. And yet there are those today who challenge the authority of the Word of God. They would interfere with this landmark of divine truth. But oh, listen to God's Word. "Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for Jehovah hath spoken. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Oh, how marvelous, what a wonderful volume we have here. And yet there are those who dare to tell us the book is old-fashioned. It just belongs to the Middle Ages. Don't you know that we are advancing with education? Don't you know that we have advanced along the pathways of scientific discoveries, and that the Bible is out of date now? My friends, all our discoveries, all our advancements are hastening on towards eternity. There will be a terminus to them. There is no knowledge or device in the grave to which we go. All man's doings will terminate at the grave. His glory will go forever. But thanks be to God, the word of God will go on. It is final. Heaven and earth may pass away, Christ said, but my word shall not pass away. This wonderful word is our priceless heritage, and many and many a saint of God has gone to the flames, has been beaten unmercifully, been stoned to death, because they clung to this precious treasure, because they believed in the living and true God and the message concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, today we have so much restlessness of mind. Young people are confused. What version are we to use? There's this version, there's that version, there's some other version. My friends, I am not having a quarrel with anyone who wants to bring the Bible up into modern, current English, and to have it expressed in the best way possible so that young people can understand it. But when the theological plunderers move in and start to interfere with the doctrines of the Word of God, then we say that education is getting in the way. Learning is a wonderful, wonderful asset to us. But when it starts to interfere with the divine scriptures of truth, then it's time to raise our voice in protest. My friends, the Word of God is true. We have virgins today called the Virgin Mary, the young woman, the girl, and all this type of thing. When we speak of a young woman or a girl, she may be pure, she may be impure. But when you have the word the virgin, there is no doubt about her character whatsoever. The very one whom God has chosen, Mary, was given the message through the angel Gabriel at Nazareth. The virgin is how the Greek puts it. The only one, the one whom God chose for the special purpose to bring our Lord Jesus Christ into the world. And you know, in a lot of our modern versions, there are subtle attacks against the virgin birth of Christ, his supernatural birth. My friends, take away the virgin birth of Christ and you have no salvation. Every one of us would be doomed. Every step that we take along the pathway of life would bring us nearer to the dark and dismal shades of hell. My friends, God's word is truth. When God tells us that he caused this supernatural birth to take place, then all we need to do is to believe it. Oh, it makes one shudder at times when it comes from the lips of men who ought to know better and have had better training. They even go so far as to throw out the message to people that Jesus Christ was an illegitimate child. Oh, I hear the thunders of the wrath of God. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. The time will come when such men will tremble. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Oh, may we believe this precious book. God tells us of the virgin birth. He tells us of the coming of his Son into this world, his only begotten Son. Let us accept it as a little child, in all simple faith, and then we'll hold fast to this landmark of divine inspiration. Our time does not permit us to dwell any longer on that one. And then the second landmark of truth which has been removed is the redemptive work of Christ. My friends, these days we find men boasting of their self-righteousness. They walk about on the platform of their own good works and display what they are doing. They've set up their own altars, offering unto God the sacrifices of their own hands, their own hearts, and God rejects them. My friends, quite a different picture in the Word of God. You know what it says? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't say, for all have sinned except Mrs. So-and-so. It doesn't say, for all have sinned except Mr. So-and-so. No, it says for all have sinned. We are all under sin. So what are we going to do about it? Well, some people try to get over the hurdle of sin in their own way. They try to map out their own course. But my friends, the moment we try to establish our good works, God brings his landmark of truth, the Ten Commandments. And there we are faced with the challenge of divine righteousness. And we are to face up to it. If we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, God's word says we are guilty of all. So no man can keep the Ten Commandments. Why does it say, thou shalt not kill? Why does it say, thou shalt not steal? Why does it say, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor? Why does it say, thou shalt not commit adultery? Because the tendency is in the heart of man to do these things. You see, I am no better than you are. You are no better than I am. Because we all come from the same stock, from the first Adam. Who was born with, he was sinned against God, and because of that, he had this sinful nature within him. Oh, my friends, we need to face up to these facts, because if we have not kept the law, listen to the voice of God. Cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. There it is. Cursed is everyone. Every person in his natural state, under the law, by God's word, he is cursed, whether he believes it or not. He may think he's righteous, he may think he may be practicing a good life, but God says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law. I'm included. Oh, I remember the time when I discovered that truth. I was trapped. What could I do? The church couldn't help me. Even my minister couldn't help me. He seemed to be dumbfounded about the whole thing because he didn't know the way of salvation. But there I was, trapped in the power of the conviction of sin. I didn't know what to do. But oh, praise God. What an amazing discovery in the Bible. That when I saw my helplessness, as you are helpless because of failure to keep the law, God steps in his mercy. He steps in his amazing love, and he sends his Son, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin, ministered on this earth, went to the cross, the perfect sacrifice for sin. And then the blood flowed from his hands and from his feet because he loved you and because he loved me. Listen to the voice of the Spirit of God through the Scriptures. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Notice that? The very thing that you could not escape from, Christ was made for you. He was made sin, that you might be free from the curse of the law. Isn't that wonderful grace? Oh, far different from man's religion. This is Christ and his redemptive work on the cross of Calvary. Oh, this is the only way back to God. And my friends, it's amazing today how the blood has been set aside. But there's no other way back to God. No other way whatsoever. If we refuse Christ, we'll die in our sins. We'll be raised in our sins. We'll be judged in our sins. We'll be cast out into hell forever. So says the Word of God. The landmark of truth concerning the redemptive work of Christ is still here. And my friends, the voice of divine grace calls each one today. Those who do not know the Saviour, how long will you halt between two opinions? Why go on neglecting this way of salvation through the blood of Christ? Any moment, death may claim you, and then you're finished. Finished for eternity, and you'll have darkness and misunderstanding for all eternity. Oh, my friend, I wish I could open the eye of every ungodly person, everyone who is out of Christ. You know, the sinner has no rest in the sight of God. One may look all right outside, but inwardly there is a storm within. The wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast of mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And that is true. I found that out before I became a Christian. There was no peace in my mind. Just like great waves of frustration breaking over me all the time. But my friends, whatever men may do with this landmark of truth concerning the redemptive work of Christ, it still remains. It is the blood that saves. And it is the word of God that gives you the assurance concerning it. You may be a church member, that's all right. You may be devoted in your avenues of service, but if you know not Christ, you will die. Don't forget that. And I believe this. I believe it with all my heart, because I would have been there but for the grace of God. There will be thousands of religious people in hell miss the way of salvation because they thought they were good enough. My friends, Christ is waiting this morning to receive those who have come unto him. This landmark of divine truth still stands firm today. And if you will receive Jesus as your Savior, he will indeed save you. When? Tomorrow? No. Right now. This is the day of salvation. Then finally, we have the landmark of truth concerning separation in the believer's life. You know, if I go past a building and I see a brass plate on the front of the building, so-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, dental surgeon, I know what he's practicing. I know what he's able to do. I understand that he has the ability to do it. And my friends, when we take upon ourselves the confession of Jesus Christ, I believe that the world wants to see something different in our lives. You know, in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, we have these words. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. When you become a Christian, all things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Instead of the toys of this world, you look into the glorious face of the risen Christ, and he encourages you to read the word. He encourages you to come to the throne of grace, to make known your needs unto him. And my friends, when we find Christians dabbling in the world and going in for all kinds of things that are contrary to the word of God, how can we expect the world to accept Jesus Christ as Savior? How is the world going to know that Jesus Christ has been raised up again from the dead if we do not display in our daily life what Christ means to us? In the home, and that's the place where we ought to live the Christian life, in the home, do we show the love of Christ in our ways? I know we all have natural tendencies to sin, so have I. I can lose my temper if I want to. I can do other things if I want to, so can you. Because circumstances come along to kind of aggravate these powers within us. And sometimes it becomes like a volcano, ready to burst. We want to give way to our feelings. But all I find, when this comes, the wonderful name of Jesus is all sufficient. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. This is where we show the light of separation. When we do exactly what is that which is opposite to what the world practices. My friends, we need to live according to the word of God, so that the landmark of truth of separation may be very real in our lives. We need to reveal Christ in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. How do they see you at work? How do they see you at the office? Do they know that you're a Christian, or do you keep your mouth closed? Do you tell them that Jesus loved you and gave himself for you? Do you offer them the scripture or a tract to try and show them that there is something more in this life than just living for self? All this is indeed the outstanding mark of Christian character. We are to live for Christ and display his character in all our ways. That is, gives us grace to do it. In good measure, pressed down and running over. May the Lord encourage us in these days to observe these landmarks of truth, so that in all our ways we may be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, and we may fight the good fight of faith, and so we shall commend the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is indeed sad when the world says, well, what is in your Christianity? You know better than what I am. You go here and you go there. Jesus Christ is indeed all satisfying. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah of Israel. He's the rose of Sharon, from whence flows the fragrance of the love of God. He's the lily of the valley. He's clothed with the glory of God, and he's able to communicate that to us. He is the bright and morning star, not the language of today, Jesus Christ the superstar. There's no such thing in the Word of God. I believe that is a blasphemous statement against the wonderful name of Jesus. He is the bright and morning star, and my friend, what we need is to be faithful to this blessed one who loved us and gave himself for us. May we hear the challenge this morning from the Spirit of God, who is on the Lord's side. I tell you this, if you want to live for Christ, if you want to work for him, if you want to serve him, you'll lose your friends. Many of them, they won't have you then. The moment you want to decide to be a true Christian, you'll find your friends will leave you. But it's far better to have fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ, than to have the companionship of those who are cold in their affection toward the Savior. So may he help us and encourage us to be true to this precious book in these days of unfaithfulness, when men are denying these very truths and the Lord that bought it. May he give you the spiritual insight to study the Word and to believe it and to live for Christ until that moment he calls you away to be with himself forevermore. May God help us to do this for his name's sake. Amen.